Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the You Were Made for More podcast. I am Sammy Gallo, your host, and I just wanted to take some time. We are like in full summer mode currently for most people, and I figured this would be a great opportunity to address some of the parents that listen to this podcast about some important topics that we mention on a lot of the podcasts, but we've never done a podcast specifically on why talking to your kids about sex and relationships and all of those things is important, right? We haven't done that. So we're going to take 2 weeks out of this summer, specifically out of the month of June, and we're going to talk about why talking with your kids about hard topics like pornography, gender confusion and dysphoria, same-sex attraction, masturbation, peer pressure, and casual hooking up is actually really important. A lot of parents know that this is important, but like I said, they are hard topics to kind of breach through this awkwardness that a lot of the times happens when we try to address them with kids. And so maybe like every parent that basically has ever lived, you nervously have wondered about sexual conversations. Like, what should I talk about with my kids and when should I talk with them? Those are two really important questions. What should I talk about and when should I talk to them about those things? Okay, so we're gonna focus on those two questions throughout these 2 weeks. The first week, this episode is going to be basically overviewing the why, right? Why should we talk to our kids about this stuff? And then we're going to walk through a resource that Harvest USA put out. If you're not familiar with Harvest USA, we'll link them in the show notes, but they're a really great nonprofit, and they put out all of these resources for parents and youth leaders to bridge the gap on conversations pertaining to sexuality and relationships. They came out with a resource that basically walks you through the stages. So every stage has an age range related with it. It walks you through stages, and then it correlates those age ranges with what you should be talking to your kids about. So we're going to kind of give a basic overview of those things. And the second part of the episode, I'm going to kind of share some stories with you that really reflect why this is important and apply why you should be having these conversations. And then we're going to talk about more of the practical side of things, like how to get through the awkwardness, how to push past hurt or trauma that you have experienced through sex and relationships before you have these conversations with your kids. Things like that, they are really practical for every person. We're going to touch on those in the second part. So I highly encourage you to listen to each part of this series. If you are a parent, share it with other parents that you know, no matter what age their child is. Because like we're going to talk about, really this stuff starts way sooner than a lot of people think it should start. So keep that in mind as we go through. If this is your first time listening to the You Were Made For More podcast, I'm really glad that you're here. Like I said, my name's Sammy. I am the creator of a resource for the church called Abundant Life, You Were Made For More. And our goal is to engage teens on topics of sexuality and relationships. That's what we're all about. And we do that through teaching them about their identity. And that's why this podcast is called You Were Made For More. So if this is your first time, I'm pumped that you're here. I hope this conversation blesses you. Know that you're always welcome to DM us or email us questions or anything like that, but that I put out content that really I see a need for, that the Lord has convicted me to be really important, and that I believe is really needed for teens based on my interaction with them. My husband is a youth pastor, and we work in our community together to kind of engage teens on these topics as well. So I'm also kind of in the trenches with you. If you're a youth leader, I am pregnant and expecting my first baby in August of 2020. So my husband and I are kind of having these conversations about what parenting looks like for us, what we're going to teach our daughter about as she gets older and things like that. So I am in the trenches with you. I don't know everything, obviously, which is why I refer to a lot of great resources and experts in these episodes, because they are parents. They have done this stuff. It's been proven to work. So that's why I kind of reference other resources, is because I recognize they bring great value to the podcast and to the content we put out. So keep that in mind. So we're going to dive in, and we're going to dive in by kind of me just saying that, let's just be honest, that we all kind of dread the talk, right? The sex talk is what we're referring to here, but it's probably one of the most dreaded conversations that parents have to think about. It's the talk that no parent looks forward to, but all parents know is absolutely critical for their child. It reduces most of us to our middle school selves. We go back to when our parents had this conversation with us. We get all fidgety, our palms start to sweat. Like I said, my daughter isn't even born yet, and that's what it tends to do for me. I talk about this stuff, sex and relationships, all the time in public schools and in the church with parents and students and other youth leaders, and it still tends to do that for me. It's something that most parents desperately want to do well, but perhaps they lack the confidence in doing it well. And they fear that failure on their part will deliver a debilitating blow to the healthy development of their children. And that's a real fear that a lot of parents have. So we're going to talk about why it's important to have these conversations based on that premise, why we should care about them deeply. And then we're going to go into more of a practical application of how to have those conversations and what they will look like with your children. And if you've had these conversations with them, let me just applaud you. Just the fact that you've kind of crossed into the territory is huge. Like I said, a lot of parents don't do that. So this is a huge thing. As your children age, it's my hope that you've already had basic conversations with them about how relationships and how sexuality fit into God's design of relationships, setting the stage for more mature conversations as they grow, right? And like I said, we're gonna reference a great resource for you. It's by Harvest USA. It's a free resource and it's literally called What to Say and When to Say It. And I'll link the PDF in the show notes so you can access that, share it with your spouse, your partner, whoever is helping you parent your kids. First, though, we need to start talking about why it's so important to have these conversations when kids are so young. And more importantly, why continuing to talk about them as they age, when it can be just plain awkward, is even more important. So we're going to start there. Did you know that in today's digital age, the average child has their first encounter with pornography at 11 years old? 11. That is not a typo. That's not me misspeaking, right? In fact, you may already know that. You may have heard that before, but some of the most recent studies are reporting that age is dropping to as low as 8 years old, and it continues to drop every day with the invention of technology, the obsession with social media in our world. You do not need me to tell you how drastically different the world is than it was 25 years ago, right? So we could choose to lock away our students and our kids until they're 30 and not expose them to any of this. But in reality, that isn't an actual option, right? We have to give them the knowledge that will hopefully shape their sexual integrity into something that reflects both well-informed decision-making and unrelenting self-respect. We need both of those things, good decision-making in light of self-respect. The harsh reality is that if you don't talk to your kids about their identity and how that identity shapes how they interact with the world, somebody else is going to do that. If you are a part of a church staff or church leadership and you know that there isn't something in place to partner with parents about having these conversations with their kids, this also could be a helpful conversation to listen to and share with whoever is in leadership with you, with your pastor, with your youth leadership team. Because, like I said, we have a responsibility as the church. I really have been convinced that if we aren't partnering with parents and continuing these conversations in a way that is glorifying to God in a safe place where they can wrestle with questions and doubts, we are not really being the voice of truth that we're called to be in their lives. And I think we can all agree that relationships are good. In fact, they're very good. If we believe in the Bible, we believe that God made us for relationship with Him. And then He was so good to us that He decided to let us live life out on this earth in communion with other people. But I think we can also agree that relationships are only good when they're done well. Looking upward at Jesus and recognizing that true intimacy comes from a relationship with the Creator. That's the only point where we're able to go into the world and form life-giving relationships with other people. That's what we want to echo to kids as we jumpstart these conversations. Okay, so first I want to start by saying that you can't control what your children see. We're going to talk more about this in part two, but with technology, that's just the way that it is these days. The best we can do as parents and as people who are trusted with shepherding students is to be proactive and open about conversations so that our children feel comfortable enough having ongoing conversations with us about what they're experiencing, what they hear, and what they see their peers doing around them. Topics that are left out of conversations at home are left up to others to kind of fill in the gaps for our kids. Where there is a void of influence at home, it will be taken up by the culture at large. And this idea is not just hypothetical. It's not something I've made up. It's not my opinion. I've seen it be true time and time again in the lives of students. So again, we're going to talk more about that in part two. So I encourage you to come back for that. Let's start with those parents listening who have young children. So Harvest USA starts their resource with breaking up childhood and adolescence into phases and then giving them guidelines about what to say, giving parents guidelines about what to say about sex and relationships, the kind of key points to hit on about sex and relationships in those phases. Believe it or not, this starts with young children from ages 2 to 7 years old. This is what Harvest USA has labeled as the grammar stage. In this stage, your child will probably be very curious, more curious than they've ever been. If you have a toddler, you know this. The most common question is, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why won't you tell me? Why, what, right? They're going to be asking tons of questions and they want legitimate answers. You dismissing them is not good enough. It just isn't. I know this to be true. I work with this age range a lot every day. In fact, when I help homeschool kids, and it's amazing the fact that they want legitimate answers to questions and they don't really settle for answers that they feel like aren't good enough. So here are some tips on how to handle conversations at this age. First, you want to teach parts of the body and their function. You want to teach safety and appropriate privacy about touching themselves and about touching other people. Then you want to make sure that you affirm your child's gender. Affirm that God created them male and female. And you don't have to fit into a stereotype of what girls should or shouldn't do or what boys should or shouldn't play with or vice versa. You kind of want to knock down those stereotypes while affirming that God created their biological sex to be in line with their gender identity. You want to be wise about technology usage and access as these ages, even though sometimes it's easier to give them a device or or turn something on for them to watch in order for you to get stuff done, it's not beneficial for their brains to do all the time. So being aware of that, setting boundaries in your home with your babysitters, with your spouse, as to what to expect for your children in accordance with technology and device usage is super important. You want to begin conversations on sex and sexuality. So at this age, your children are probably going to start asking questions like, where do babies come from? And they're going to do that in an innocent way. But it's important that you have an age-appropriate answer for them. Like I said, we're going to link additional material from Harvest USA to help you do this. But the important thing is setting the stage for further conversations to take place. That's super important from the time that they're this young, because research has actually found that children ask about body parts in this stage, and answering their questions honestly and with anatomically correct terms is actually the best thing that you can do as a parent, even if you feel uncomfortable calling sexual parts by their actual names, like a vagina or a penis. If you feel like nicknaming those body parts is better for your child, research has actually proven that it is not better for them because it sets this kind of stigma or a taboo on talking about them. When if you, you know, call an elbow, your mouth, your penis, it kind of puts it in perspective that that is a body part that God gave the child with a function, and it opens up conversations to happen. It doesn't kind of create this weird stigma around it by nicknaming the body part. It actually makes it harder to have serious conversations in the future about how God made a person's body to function if you do that. And I can attest that that was done in my childhood, and it made conversations about sex and relationships super uncomfortable. I did not want to ask people about those body parts because I thought that they were, like, dirty and that there was something bad about them. So keep that in mind. The next age range is from ages 8 to 12, okay? So your child is going to enter this stage, which we refer to as the tween stage. In this stage, experts say that teaching is the main emphasis. This is the teaching stage. So you're going off of what you taught in the grammar stage. You want to make sure that you intentionally deepen conversations on sex and sexuality. This could range from going into specifics about what body parts perform, what mechanisms, etc., right? And again, if this stage is set up well from the previous stage, it's going to be much easier to kind of just flow naturally into this without it being awkward. If you're listening to this and you've already passed this stage and you feel like maybe after this podcast, you're convicted you haven't done it well, don't worry. Every conversation is redeemable, and we're going to discuss that more later. So this discussion is not meant to shame anyone or to make you feel like you have not done a good job in bridging this conversation with your kids. It's just to kind of open our eyes to what research has found and what the gospel calls us to do. And there's no shame in the fact that a lot of us have not done that well already. That's why we're given the Holy Spirit. That's why we trust that Jesus is going to work through us. So going back to the teaching stage, ages 8 to 12, this stage is where kids start to enter puberty. And it's so important that as parents, we shepherd them well by discussing the body changes they're experiencing as well as the emergence of sexual desires. Again, you want to introduce specifically the dangers of pornography in this stage. We know that most are exposed to pornography in this age range, so you want to make sure that you hit on that. There's going to be a good story in part two about this specifically, but make sure that you're doing that. You want to solidly implement technology usage. Again, if the barriers and the boundaries are already set up from the first stage, this is going to be easier as they age. You want to affirm that marriage is biblical between a man and a woman. You want to teach about sexual brokenness in all of its forms. And finally, all of these conversations need to be wrapped up by teaching respect for all people, no matter what their beliefs, what their religion, what they identify as. You want to affirm respect for all of those people, but also point back and affirm biblical norms. The next stage is teenagers, right? From the age range of 13 to 18, this stage, okay? Dialogue is more important than ever. There should be an increased focus when possible on discussions about sexuality with that child's parent of the same gender. So if I have a daughter, I want to make sure I'm intentionally having conversations with my daughter about topics of sexuality. If I have a son, I want to make sure my husband or my significant other or a male role model in his life is having conversations about these things with him. Again, if you come from a home where your marriage has been broken up, maybe your child doesn't have a same-sex parent in their life, they can speak into that. That's why the church is so important. That's why youth leaders are so important. Pastors and mentors are so important. So keep that in mind. This is important because God's grace and redemption can be displayed when sharing and talking about challenges and past mistakes within your sexual history, right? Again, you want to relate all of this appropriately as they grow older towards adulthood. So what you say to a 13-year-old is going to be different than what you say to an 18-year-old. Even though they're in the same phase, those age ranges, oh, there's a huge gap in there. So keep that in mind as you're listening and processing all of this, is it's going to look different depending on what age your child is. Throughout this stage, you should also be having conversations about how culture impacts sexuality, what your child is experiencing and seeing every day happen in the world. You want to have conversations about those things and how they interact and relate to scripture. Again, remember that your child may not believe everything that you want them to believe, but it's important that you feel comfortable and are open enough with what you believe and have been convicted on with them, that they are willing to share what they actually believe with you, not what they think you want to hear, because that doesn't do them any good, right? That's just kind of putting a band-aid on real questions that they have. Again, if previous stages are done well, this is going to kind of naturally flow. If you're trying to shift the narrative that they've been given for their whole childhood in this stage, it's going to be a little bit harder and more awkward of a bridge to gap, but it is possible, okay? Something that I've talked with so many parents about is remembering that you can have these conversations. You can, and do them with the best of your ability and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. But in the end, it will be the Holy Spirit who brings conviction and life change to your child or a student in your youth group that is struggling. That's something I love about the church, is that you can lead your student in these conversations, but there's also other trusted adults and youth leaders pouring into them that can speak into them, that can speak truth to them as well, encouraging them when they stumble and when they fall into temptation, or answering questions for them when they do feel awkward asking you about them. That's the gift of the church. That's the gift of community. Most importantly, through all of these conversations, I encourage you to show the need for daily dependence on Christ, if not only for sexual integrity and relational integrity, but for all integrity, right? We all need Jesus. You need Jesus just as much as your child needs Jesus. That's such an important perspective to remember as you're hearing your child say things that you don't agree with, that you don't know how that idea got planted in their minds, right? Remember, you are in desperate need of Jesus too, and that really sets our hearts well as we kind of learn how to have these conversations. They are not easy, but they are worth it. Trust me, as someone who did not really have this done well as a child and a young adult, I know I would have loved to make it past the awkwardness, to make it to a point where I felt like I could have a real conversation with an adult in my life that I trusted. That's why I'm willing to push past the uncomfort in my own parenting and my own leading youth, because I know the alternative is clearly better from what I experienced. And I really believe that. I believe that kids need to be hearing about this from their homes, from a scriptural environment, because where there is a void, the culture will fill it. And it's not going to be filled with a biblical perspective. It's so important for us to get out ahead of these things. In case I have not convinced you of that in the past 30 minutes, like I said, I encourage you, go to Harvest USA, look at the resources, the statistics, the research that they have that echoes what I have told you in this episode. Take it to your youth leader, take it to your church leadership, take it to your spouse, and get out ahead of these things with students and children that you care about, okay? It literally could save their soul trauma and hurt, and it could stop them from believing the lies that the culture is feeding them, okay? So part one, we did it, okay? Part one is done. Next time, we are going to talk about some real stories that parents have shared with me that I've experienced with youth group students. We're going to look at them, look at how this why applies to those real life stories, just to kind of hit on the point that this is so important. And then we're going to talk about some practical tips that you can implement and talk about with people who are helping you parent with your spouse together to make these conversations worthwhile, and how maybe you can experience some healing through teaching your children about these topics. So that's all I have for you today. Remember to check out the show notes on Buzzsprout. We are available, our podcast, you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever that is. Go and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And like I said at the beginning, if you are a parent and this conversation spoke to you, please, please share it with people in your community. It's so much easier to have people who are doing this with their kids with you, so that you can process and talk about hard things with them and kind of go into the trenches together. So I will see you guys next time on the You Were Made For More podcast. I hope this conversation blesses you. Until then, we'll see you next time.